greet you in Jesus' name. We want to welcome you here, this worship service. I want to welcome my parents also. Glad to have my mother here and my mother-in-law. Also, it's a special day that we call Mother's Day. And I guess it's kind of somewhat tradition that we have a sermon pertaining to mothers. But just a reminder that everybody is here because of a mother. So we welcome you all to listen in, and we welcome you to apply the truths to your life. Many of the principles that I plan to look at apply to all of our lives, and it doesn't matter if you're on this side of the house or on this side of the house. But I do want to spend pretty much my time speaking about motherhood. Motherhood is not a hobby. It's a calling. It's not something to do if you can squeeze the time. It's what God gave you time for. And that's a reminder that mothers need to have at times. Sometimes we say we run out of time to accomplish our responsibilities. But the calling to motherhood is very, very important, and God has made that calling. The sermon title is Secret of a Virtuous Mother. And I want to look basically from Proverbs 31, a very familiar scripture that we have read many, many times. I've maybe heard various sermons on it. But we look at Proverbs 31. There's a number of principles I want to draw from that chapter. And if you read this chapter, you can soon get the feeling that unless you're very industrious, or you're a very good manager, or even maybe somewhat a business type woman, that somehow you're not a virtuous woman. And I want to remind you this morning, that is not true. There's principles that we're going to look at from this chapter, from the scripture, that apply to a virtuous mother. And we look at this scene. Obviously, the culture was a bit different. We read this scripture, and we discover this virtuous woman probably made clothing for her children. I mean cloth. They used to make their own cloth and then make their own clothing. There was land purchase. You read some of the verses, it talks about the merchants' ships and so on. So we realize that there is somewhat of a culture difference that we're familiar with in our culture and our Mennonite circles. But the principles that we're going to draw from this scripture are applicable to every culture and every land. So I want to read this scripture, Proverbs 31, 10 to 31. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh the wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hand. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She arises also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion of her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle good, not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen, and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up, and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Now, I want to look at this. I want to be realistic as we look at this scripture. I realize, you, like I mentioned earlier, you read over this chapter, these verses, and I believe I'm speaking to virtuous women. virtuous mothers. But as I look across the audience, we all have different gifts and different strong points. Some mothers, some women love gardening, and some it really isn't that their thing, and maybe they're more into sewing and so forth. So there's various gifts and various things that you may enjoy and that where you shine in, and some areas maybe you're not as strong in, and we understand it. That's a difference in family life, difference in how God made us. Now, I also want to mention this morning that motherhood and Mother's Day is usually a special time. If we think of Mother's Day, usually it's joy. Usually you get a card or a call from your children, maybe a text or something. But to some, maybe Mother's Day is a sad day. Maybe they're disappointed. Maybe their children have hurt them, and we understand that. Maybe your husband has not done well with teaching the children to honor their mother. I don't know what your situation may be. But I want you to encourage you with the fact that, you know, accepting life as God unfolds it is where joy and peace is. It's not always having everything the way that it should be, or the way we read in Scripture, the way we would like it to be. But sometimes there's things in life that we can't change. And there's sometimes things that mothers go through, wives go through, that you have no power within yourself to change. And I want to encourage you just to accept what God allows and find joy in accepting the journey of life that God has for you. And I think you can find peace in that. Before I get into some of the principles in Proverbs 31, I want to flip back to Titus chapter 2. And we could have spent most of my time in Titus chapter 2 talking about the aged women and the things that they need to teach their children. That's the other thing I want to bring out through the sermon, the values and the principles that mothers need to be teaching and sharing with their children, especially their daughters as they grow up. But Titus chapter 2, verse 3, it says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becoming holiness, not false accusers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, I'm going to stop there. The phrase that I wanted to bring out is keepers at home. Everything that I say this morning will make sense to you if you're a keeper at home. If you're not a keeper at home and your heart is somewhere else, this sermon probably will make sense, but maybe you'll feel maybe guilty or have unrest in your soul. So I'm coming from the perspective that we're teaching, and we have maintained the fact that we have keepers at home. Mothers are keepers at home. Now, through the years in history, that concept has been threatened. There's been pressure. We have, wasn't that many years ago, mothers in the world were used to being keepers at home. And then you have the industry coming in and women getting jobs and so on. And that has been put pressure on the church. Where do we stand on those types of things? Where do we stand on sisters getting a job? And we have accepted sisters, especially before marriage, having jobs. There's been lots of discussion. I remember being in those types of discussions. Warnings put out through preaching and in Sunday school class, that whole concept. But I just want to encourage us to maintain that conviction that mothers are to be keepers at home. The Scripture teaches that. And it's important that mothers, that we teach our daughters those concepts and those convictions. It wasn't that many years ago that women did not even have license. I don't think my grandmother had license. I think Clyde's mother does not have license. That generation, what is she, 80, 90? 88 years old, that generation grew up. A lot of the mothers didn't have driver's license. And you know what? They were keepers at home. They didn't go away unless their husband took them away. And so they just stayed home. And now we have moved, that generation had transitioned into driver's license. We just think it's normal. We think it's unusual if somebody can't get their license. There's usually a medical issue or a medical problem. But all those pressures have put pressure on the churches. Where do we stand? And I just want to reaffirm that everything I say this morning is in the context that we have convictions and that our mothers are keepers at home. Do we agree with that? Amen. And we need to maintain that. And I feel like we have done rather well with that. But I realize that there could be pressures that press upon us that we need to be aware of. Well, back to Proverbs 31. I want to look at 7 points I have from this chapter to encourage our mothers and if you're not a mother, just encourage our women and our sisters to have these part of their life. And there's many more principles we could have drawn. Number one, the virtuous woman has no dollar value. He says, it says that she, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies. Rubies could be in the category of pearls, something that is extremely valuable, it's extremely expensive. And he's saying here that this virtuous woman, there is no dollar value. There is no money that you can attach to a virtuous woman and say, well, that's pretty close. That's equal value. There's nothing like that. That's what he's telling us. This virtuous woman is far above money, far above value. And I think it's so important, mothers, that you teach your daughters not to feel this pressure that they need to make money. I believe we have that pressure. I believe that young girls, they feel this pressure that they need to somehow make money and somehow attain. And if God has marriage for them, that they can go into marriage with a sizable amount of money. And I want to encourage you, that is not true. You don't need to have... I've got to be careful what I say. We do need money to live. But sisters, you don't need to have that pressure to make money so you can start a household. And that's what he's talking about here. Virtue and integrity is far above if you have significant amount of money. And there's many a sisters, many a young girl has compromised on virtue and developing the virtues of a godly woman for money, for making a living. Virtue and integrity needs to be held above all monetary gain. There's many a woman has failed in developing the virtues due to the emphasis of work and making a living, and they lack the character development. And I think our mothers carry that responsibility to help their daughters to not have that pressure and that drive to somehow make a living at the expense of virtuous womanhood. And you have to ask the question, what is virtuous womanhood? What is virtue? And I just wrote a few of them down. There's many more, but I call it social reserve. It's so important that we develop it, that our sisters have social reserve, modesty, appreciation for simplicity and purity. All those types of things have to do with this virtuous woman. And those principles, those values are far greater than if you have money in your checkbook or in your savings. I appreciate our social reserve that we have in our church life, but I also realize it's being pressured and being threatened. The new social media that we use, the texting and WhatsApping and all those types of things, have a way of undermining that social reserve that we have enjoyed for years, the social reserve between girls and boys. And that can soon be broke down by the new technology and the social devices that we have. And I just want to encourage us as parents and as mothers, help your daughters to preserve that social reserve, and it will be a blessing. It will be. Virtuous mothers will pay attention to what happens at the sewing machine. I talked about modesty. Appreciation for simplicity. You know, it's a mother's responsibility. I'm talking about being a virtuous mother. It's unless we pass on the values that you have, we can quickly lose them. And those are the things that a mother needs to pay attention to. What happens at the sewing machine? What happens on the phones? What happens at the late night reading material? Those types of things mothers pay attention to. A godly mother will pay attention to. I'm talking about passing it on to our younger generation. Mothers, teach your daughters the beauty of motherhood above earthly values. Having children is God's will. You know, the worldly pressure of the shrinking family size is upon us. We know that. Actually, they're starting to not make vehicles as plentiful that can haul families. They're shrinking the vehicles, and the family size shrinks. And I just have a burden that we as parents and as mothers, that we teach our children the importance of desiring a family, desiring children. The heart of shrinking family size is selfishness. And we're talking about the virtuous woman. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Number two, a virtuous woman contributes to a strong marriage. He talks about here her heart. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. You know, that fact of having confident trust, no suspicion, it's such a wonderful blessing. And I don't think us as men realize how it is in the world, how these men, what they deal with, living with a woman that's not virtuous, doesn't have the social reserve, doesn't dress modest and isn't simple and all those aspects, all those things that are part of the worldly woman and how that makes her vulnerable to strange relationships. And the men don't trust their wives. We have a beautiful blessing. You know, I can just trust my wife. I just know that she's being faithful. I can trust when she goes away that everything is all right. And we just have those blessings and praise God for that. But that doesn't, that comes largely because of a virtuous woman. I know us as men bear a lot of responsibility in some of these aspects and these points that I'm going to share, but I'm talking about a virtuous woman this morning, and it's a wonderful blessing to have that strong relationship of no suspicion and you trust. Modesty, reserve, purity, and simplicity are points that contribute to that relationship. And you have a generation that loses modesty. You have a generation that loses simplicity and purity. And the trust in marriages break down. It's all around us. We see it in our families. We see it in our relatives. It's alarming to me how quickly a generation can lose these values and these virtues. And I think some of the core issues is because mothers were not faithful in passing it on to their daughters. And I just want to encourage you to do that. And I know yous are, but we need to be reminded how important it is to teach our daughters those concepts, those virtues. Just being able to trust your wife with a checkbook. You know, there's a lot of husbands do not trust their wives with a checkbook. Actually, most marriages have separate accounts in the world. Simply because of that reason. Well, this virtue yields many wedding anniversaries. You know, the world is shocked, and they stand in awe when they hear that somebody lived for 50 years with their wife, or 60 years with their wife, or I just heard recently somebody celebrated their 70th anniversary, and people celebrate, and this, and it is a celebration. It is a wonderful time, but it's not unusual to us. I've heard comments already. Mean you can live with your wife that long? Sure, I enjoy living with my wife because she's a virtuous woman. You know what? There's a lot of men don't enjoy living with their wives because they don't have a virtuous wife. So we have a wonderful blessing, virtuous. Women contribute to strong marriages and many anniversaries. Sure, we can love our wives for a lifetime. It's not difficult when you have a virtuous wife and a husband does his part. Number three, The virtuous woman is an industrious in her home. Yet, verse 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. It seems like she was a woman that went out and she brought in the wool and made clothing from it. If you go ever to Atlantis Valley Museum, they have a little workshop there that they show you how they do that. And I'm just amazed. And, you know, that was in the 1800s, I believe. It wasn't that many years ago that's what they did. The mothers made their own clothing, spun their wool, and wove it together and made a shirt. And I'm like, how did they have time to do that? I guess their culture was different. But they didn't have as many clothing. They didn't have wardrobes for clothing. That's one difference. They didn't have the different. They had their work clothing, and they wore that mostly for most times, and maybe had one other set of dress clothing for church or something like that. But they did not have the wardrobes like we have today. But this, we get this concept that she was an industrious. She had a grateful heart. It says she works willingly. And she worked willingly with the provisions that were provided. This virtuous woman, the provisions were made available, and she worked willingly with those provisions. She also believed she lives within her means. Verse 16 says she considereth a field and buyeth it. Now, I know our sisters generally are not buying land, but that word considereth means that she considered if she could afford it, if it was wise for her to buy this land. And I want to make that applicable to you as mothers. Is living within your means is so important within your family. We have different families here, and obviously we have different levels of income. We know that. That happens in our culture, happens in church life, happens in family units where there's different levels of income. But it's a wife's responsibility to seek ways to live within the income that her husband has provided for the household. And that's what she was doing here. She's considering the field, considering if she was able to accomplish purchasing that field. Now, many different points can be made to that. Buying used when you can. Learning to do without. Being content with the provisions that you have. And repairing when you can. The generation we have today is people just throw things away. They take it to the dumpster and throw it away. Buy new and use it for a year and sell it. And that's why garage selling can be positive. You can buy a lot of good things garage selling. We don't do garage selling anymore. We don't need any more than we have. I like to have garage sales and get rid of the stuff. So, but young families, it's a wise thing to do some garage selling. There's a lot of good qualities you can have. But I'm not saying you have to. Some people maybe would rather not do that. That's fine. So, but living with this industrious woman, this industrious wife, learns to live within the family finances and makes it work. Number three, feeds family with good, healthy food. It talks about feeding her family. And, you know, we could debate here what is healthy. There's probably various opinions on healthy food. But I think you understand what I mean. You know, our mothers do a lot teaching children the concept of eating properly, at proper times, having meal time, not allowing snacks when they shouldn't be snacking. Just all those things that we as in our church families, in our Mennonite circles, are things that we teach that it isn't long until you step out of our circles and that has disappeared. Children they don't have discipline in their eating habits. But it's so important that a virtuous woman, a virtuous mother, teaches children quality eating habits. Also, I had to think of packing lunches for school. It's a mother's responsibility to pack a lunch that the child can enjoy opening up at school. I've heard situations already where children open up their lunch and they're extremely disappointed and embarrassed to eat their lunch in front of the other children because of the contents. God forbid. Mothers, you bear the responsibility to provide food for children that they go to school and they can enjoy opening their lunch and enjoy lunchtime. It's your responsibility. And I know that you have and are doing that, but it's a reminder. Verse 27, She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Busy with serving her family, not wasting time on social media. I hear stories of young mothers, not necessarily in our circles, where they spend 4 or 5 hours a day on Facebook and keeping up with their friends. I don't know how they can be a mother. You know what's tempting for those mothers is they get into the videos and they set their children in front of the videos so the children can be entertained so mom can be doing her social media. Those are the stories that happen just not far from us. And I'm telling you, this is not the virtuous woman. The virtuous woman is being active and being busy with her motherhood. And sure, there's ways to keep up with friends and relationships. But the priority is to keep up with your family life and your children, connecting with your children, being there for them. They have a lot of needs. Also, you could put in there reading books that do not help you become a better mother. I'm not against reading books. There's good books that you read to encourage us and to help us. But there's a lot of waste of time books that people can read that have no value in helping you develop the virtuous motherhood. And that can apply to both sides, our reading material. So this woman is very busy with keeping up. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Talks about getting up early in the morning and going to bed late at night and just keeping up with life. And the mother's work never gets done. Well, number four, she cares about the needs of others. Verse 20, it talks about she stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. Now, a virtuous woman will look for ways, opportunities to help others. If you wait to help others until you have time, you'll never get it accomplished. So the fact of this woman was a very busy woman, this virtuous woman, but yet she looked out to the needs of the poor, willing to sacrifice in order to help others. Brother Ira talked about that. The offering, he didn't say the amount of the offering. You'll see that in your mailbox. But it's substantial, and somebody's going to need to sacrifice. Somebody's got to say no to something to help the needy. And that's one way that we can do that. If we just assume that it's going to be taken care of and I can just buy everything I need and what I think I want, we're not going to accomplish our goals in meeting those needs. And that's what I believe this virtuous woman, she was willing to sacrifice, say no to something in order to help the poor and help the needy. Maybe the house don't get cleaned up as usual because you had a call and you need to go help somebody. And this sharing is done to bless those people. It's not to make yourself look good or to hope that other people find out how much you're doing. It's the fact of just being willing to share quietly and caring about the needs of others and being a blessing. Sometimes it's simply helping with canning and freezing. Maybe a busy mother, a lot of little children, it's really hard to can peaches and pears and do up corn with a lot of preschoolers. And just picking up the phone and going and calling, saying, I'm coming over to help you. Those are ways that we can help each other in our church family. Now, it talks about helping the poor. And I want to encourage us to look into our communities. And I know it's a challenge because sometimes in our communities we have poor people that all they want is money. It's really hard to know how to find your way with that. There's a situation that arises, I would say, basically monthly. Maybe not that often. More recently, it's been there's a person we reach out to, and she calls and wants money, and it's hard to know how to help, when not to. God give you wisdom. But I think there's ways that you can look out for in the community where you know there's a legitimate poor situation and reach out and help them. And may God bless you as we have done that as a congregation. And I don't want to lose that burden and that desire. But this virtuous woman did that in her way, whatever way she could. She cared about the poor and the needy. You know, a mother's heart is a virtuous mother has that heart, even for her own family, her own children. I just want to read a little story here that reveals a mother's heart. It's a very touching story. A pastor received a call from a new father, which was not unusual. The father, however, went on to explain that he wanted the pastor to be present when the mother came out from her from under the anesthesia and would be told she had given birth to a beautiful baby boy, healthy in every way, but the newborn had no ears. When the pastor arrived, the nervous father and the doctor went into the room where the mother lay on her bed, now recovering after a hard birth. The doctor explained that the baby had auditorial openings and all the inner ear parts necessary to receive sounds, but no fleshly part outside that we commonly call the ear. The doctor assured the parents that the problem would be corrected when the child's growth was completed and a matching donor was found. School was a tough experience for this little fellow. Many times he would come home crying, "I'm a freak. I'm nothing but a freak." He was too well aware of the stares, the whispers, the taunts, and the nicknames given to him by other children. Junior high was the worst of his growing up experiences, but the young man began to adapt and learn to live with his disfigurement. He became an excellent student and entered college at a scholarship with plans to study geology. One spring day when he was a sophomore in college, his father phoned him and said, "Well, son, we have finally found an ear donor for you. Plan to come home because the operation will take place this summer." The day the operation came and went as a rousing success. This young man was so happy as he returned to college in the fall. His new ears were beautiful. His life took on new meaning for him. He graduated with honors, and his parents were so proud of him as he left to take a job in the Midwest. Life was great. Then a call came from his father who said, "Son, your mother has had a heart attack. Please come right home." The young man arrived on the next flight, only to learn his mother had died before his arrival. The next day, at the funeral home, his father walked with him to the casket where she lay and pushed back his mother's hair to show the son. His mother didn't have any ears. She gave part of herself to meet her son's need. The love of God is greater than this mother's love. God gave us more than ears. He gave his son. That's a virtuous mother, willing to give herself. In that case, it was for her son. But that spirit and that attitude is what we're talking about. The virtuous woman, number 5, she does what it takes to be strengthened spiritually and emotionally. If you look at verse 17, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengthened her arms. Verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. It's very important that mothers, that you take time to be strengthened spiritually and emotionally. That personal time with the Lord, personal time with prayer. We live in a day and age where the printing press has been positive. And there's a lot of good quality devotional books geared towards motherhood that I think can be a real blessing. And not in the place of reading your Bible. You should desire to read your Bible and many times read your Bible in prayer. But devotional books can help mothers, busy mothers, when you feel like you're frazzled and pulled apart in many different ways. And just to sit down and have a quiet time is very important, will help you, strengthen you emotionally and spiritually. Communication, being open with your husband or a trusted friend. You know, when child training is difficult and, you know, the first graders come home and there's problems at school and the readers need to be read and you have a toddler and it's just a lot of activity, a lot of stress, a lot of things that can go on. And some days maybe you feel like you don't get much done. But being able to communicate will help you be stable in your emotional makeup. Well, verse 17 talks about girding. Girding is a choice that needs to be exercised. You know, it's something that you do. It's something that needs to be, it doesn't just happen automatically. You will not be strong just automatically. But it's something that this woman girded herself with this strength. Maintaining the proper balance between the physical everyday issues and the Mary spirit requires deliberate choices. You know, we talk about the Martha and the Mary. Mary had to make that choice to sit at Jesus' feet. She had to make a deliberate choice to leave that kitchen, leave her activities, and go sit at the feet of Jesus. And sisters, it takes a deliberate choice to do that. There's many things that need to be getting done, or many things that many, the family's counting on you, but you have to make that deliberate choice. And that's what this girding has to do. It's something that you need to choose to do. And that's what Mary did. Just shutting down the activities and getting their family ready for prayer meeting takes a choice. Makes that, you have to decide, time to shut down, baths need to be taken, home needs to, hair needs to be combed, we need to go to prayer meeting. Those decisions, those choices that you make impact the children. Now I know that I could be talking on this side of the house. We bear the responsibility to create that culture in our home, that we go to church when church doors are open. But a mother makes it happen with her children and gets supper and gets things to happen that we can all go to church as a family. And a virtuous mother will be on board with that. And children soon pick up the attitudes of their mother. Does she want to do that, or is she dragging and not pursuing that? Also with maintaining the spiritual integrity and emotional integrity, verse 25 says, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. That little phrase, and she shall rejoice in time to come, if I understand what that phrase means, is being willing to accept life as in life's changes. Life brings changes. There's times and seasons in family life that it would be nice if we could just freeze it and just keep it. There is those moments, those times. But I want to encourage you with the fact that don't even think about that. Don't even feed those attitudes, because it's not going to stay that way. You might as well encourage yourself in the fact that and enjoy that life brings changes. And you enjoy change, because it's going to happen regardless if you enjoy it or not. And I think that's what that phrase means, is being at rest with the changes that time brings is so important. God holds the future, and some of the changes that we encounter are very pleasant. We enjoy them. We have enjoyed, grandchildren, and that's a pleasant change. It's just a real blessing. But those changes in life that God may have in store for us that isn't pleasant, we don't know what they are, but we accept them as they come. And that's what this virtuous woman found to be a benefit to her life. Well, number six, a virtuous woman is known by respectful character. Verse 25, it says, strength and honor are her clothing. Her character is known. I look across the audience here and I see clothing. It's displayed. We see your clothing. You can't hide your clothing. And what I get from this scripture is that a virtuous woman, her character is on display. It's not hidden. It's well known. Nobody can hide their character. We are who we are. We're known by who we are. And that's what, and strength and honor are her clothing. That's how she's known. Her character is obvious. Her convictions are obvious. They're revealed. Every one of us reveal our convictions. We do it by our character, by our attitudes, by our words, and by our lifestyle. We reveal our convictions. We make those judgments or those observations all through society where people's convictions are. And that's what we have here. Strength and honor are her clothing. Her godly values are not hidden. I had to think of that. As children grow up, they know where their mother stands. They know her convictions. They know her values. And sometimes those values and those convictions cause some stress, some conflict between children and mothers. And I want to encourage you as mothers to stand on your convictions. And what's really amazing, what happens is as children grow older and as they go from adolescence up to teenagers, and they move from this aspect of learning to make decisions on their own, making purchases on their own. You know the things that will go through their mind is when they're looking at this item to buy or they're thinking about this purchase, they'll think, wonder what mom thinks. And they'll remember mom's convictions. They'll remember the things that she taught them. And it happens on this side of the house too. Our children remember. Those that have married children, your children remember your convictions. And it'll influence their decisions in life. And it's very important that we wear, we wear our character that's obvious. And that they know where we stand. And they know where our convictions are. And that she's clothed, this virtuous woman is clothed with her convictions. Her children know where she is. They know what she stands for. She openeth her mouth, verse 26, with wisdom, and her tongue is a law of kindness. When she speaks, her words hold weight. Sometimes she may feel like they don't, but I want to encourage you that they do. Those words that you speak do lodge in the hearts of the children. And sometimes it may resist you, but later on they remember and they think about it and they say, you know what? Mom was right. And so you need to speak those words of wisdom. What are some of the words that are wisdom that are spoken? Acceptance of others, this law of kindness. You know, we develop our family culture and our children learn that culture and how we respond to others. You know, like I mentioned earlier, we have different families here, and everyone has their unique way of family life. And I call it unique. I don't know if that's the right word, but you have your family culture. And I think it's very important that each family, that we respect each family's culture. And that we don't put thumbs down or speak negative about them, or maybe you hear something that they did or said, and you're like, wow, that's kind of unusual. We as parents and mothers particularly bear the responsibility on how we develop the spirit of our home and how we relate to other children and other family members. Actually, that spirit affects how children act after church. It actually affects how children act at school, the click thing and that kind of thing. And we as parents have a lot of responsibility. Mothers, you bear a lot of responsibility in how you teach your children to have the law of kindness. The children won't have the law of kindness. Now, law, I like this law aspect because law is something that's put in place because if it's not in place, something else could happen. Like if you're traveling through town and the speed limit is 25 miles an hour, the reason they put that speed limit 25 miles an hour is because it would be dangerous to go 60 miles an hour. But you know what? It's very possible to go 60 miles an hour through a 25 miles an hour speed limit. That could happen. But the law reins it in. And this law of kindness is so important. There's times that we won't feel like being kind to people. There's times that we would feel like being otherwise. But the law of kindness says, I'm going to be kind anyway. And we communicate that with our children. And we teach our children those concepts. Very important. And that's what this virtuous woman did. The law of kindness was in her heart, in her tongue, in her attitudes towards others. And actually towards her children too. Because it's very important that a mother is kind to her children. Need to wrap this up. Number 7, the secret of the virtuous woman is found in verse 30. It says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. You know, my message title was The Secret of the Virtuous Mother. You know where the secret lies is having a godly fear. Fearing God. Grounded in the fear of the Lord. Her whole life is motivated by the fear of the Lord. She's not living for favor and for praise and to get her name on some plaque in a place of recognition. But she's living for the fear of God. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. You know, many of those women that fear the Lord get praised after they're in the grave. I have a book here with stories of mothers. They're dead and gone. A virtuous mother isn't looking for recognition today. I mean, it's pleasant to have. It says her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also. And he praises her. It's right for children to bless their mother. It's right for children to to buy flowers for their mother or get a card or do those things. But that's not what she's doing it for. Flowers fade away. Cards get put in drawers. You don't get them out every day and read those cards. The real purpose is because you fear God. Embrace the statutes of the Lord. Her strength to raise a family comes from the fear of God. You know, the world marvels at our families. They say, how can you do it? How can you raise a family? How do you keep this order? And they just don't understand. Well, I understand they don't understand. They don't have the word of God. They don't have the fear of God in their hearts and lives. They don't have the spirit of the Lord. And obvious to them, it looks overwhelming. But when you have the spirit of the Lord and godly fear and you love God and you apply the principles of his word, family life is an enjoyable time. And yes, it's a lot of work. May God bless you as mothers. And as you cultivate those virtues and continue pressing on, let's kneel for prayer.